Arriving. Arriving here now. Existentially saying, I choose to be in the moments unfolding rather than trying to have a strategy of selectively showing up when it's pleasant and tuning out when it's not. Arriving in space-time. Here, now. An overall feeling and the made-up parts of the particular conditions. Inevitably, we will be arriving in the external outer conditions and our internal inner conditions. We know this on the front end. Mindfulness front and center. We can feel the immediacy of this moment. Each moment when we're really present has an immediacy. It's unfolding just now. As the mind gets more subtle, those distinctions become ever more subtle. From this knowing, recognizing that we have a feel of this moment, we recognize that there is, in fact, mindfulness established to some degree. We feel present. There is a felt sense to being present. If you were going to say that in 3 or 4 words, what would you say right now? Not as always, but in this moment, about being present. My own would be, for this particular moment, physicality, alert attention, a feeling of present, and some heart response that I cannot name more specifically. All felt, none theoretical. And this being present leads to feeling a presence. I said a flowing field, a flowing stream of mindfulness that's accompanying the moments. Again, we waver. We disappear from it completely. Sometimes we're fully going with it. Sometimes it's like we're resisting it even when we're in the mindfulness stream. All normal. All not to be distracted by. And there comes a recognition of availability. For me, it is truly mind-heart. I feel my mind's availability, but the heart aspect available. It's a kind of stirring heart-wise. As I said earlier, it's a kind of alertness in the mind part. What's it for you? through practice, through direct experience of the felt sense of being available, through witnessing how I behave, how I perceive, how I understand, how rich life feels, I have a definite commitment that being available is a wise choice and a compassionate choice. I have proven this to myself. Maybe you need to do the same. So that you know, that you wish to be available to life. Philosophically, you know it. Mentally, you know it. Emotionally, you know it. Out of love, you know it. Out of practicality, you know it. Or not. You may have a different experience. And again, this doesn't mean that we there are times when we need to, using right effort, the Eightfold Path, we need to distract ourselves. We need to go read a book. We need to take a hot bath. We need to take a walk and just sort of stop being so aware of what's going on. There needs to be space created in one form or another. That's balancing. That's still being available and responding. But when we have a habit of dodging over and over again, tuning out over and over again, maybe that's not so much being available, huh? Maybe that's a compulsion. You can see for yourself. Available, available, available. To all the dimensions, unfathomable dimensions of this mind, all the dimensions of the heart, personal and impersonal, dimensions that have a physical feeling to it, like we've been working with these three manifest dimensions of consciousness, but they're dimensions of consciousness where the heart's available and it doesn't feel the same. This energetic level and then a causal level feels very different, at least to me and those I've worked with. This available presence starts to be more clear in relation to the existence of the ability to choose. Because you're present and because you know how to choose, know how to recognize that you have this empowerment of choosing, that you can choose. And one chooses to align or not. But if we are choosing to align, the metric is that we be specific enough that we feel the energetic presence of having aligned, mind, heart aligned. By now, some of you are just turning your attention to this area. You already feel that. Just please make sure that you utilize something that is an anchor at this level of preparatory practice. Thus, the Buddha or the Dhamma or Metta or Sila, whatever it may be. Gratitude. Whatever it wants to be in you, but something that's specific that you would know how to get back to it if you get into some unknown rough territory. not today, but in your practice in an ongoing way, or your home practice when there's so many forces can rot us up and lead us to choosing suffering rather than non-suffering. Cloud the mind and have us make poor practical decisions even. So we feel this alignment settling in. There is an embodiment of alignment. And then we feel the whole opening of the embodiment of available and aligned and available. It is embodied. And we discover the feeling of a ground. Embodied meaning that it has become part of our experience, our embodied experience. The very outlook, the very alertness, the very conditions of mind heart. This starts out as a very temporary mind state. It grows into a more regular mind state that lasts longer. And in time, I would suggest to you that it becomes actually part of a transformation into a stage of development. And so from this ground, this preparatory ground, we again turn to experience. Acknowledging that there is a body through the felt sense of body. How do you have a felt sense of body right now? Don't leave till you have it. It could be the form of the jurian, the form of the body, the overall body feeling, that array of sensations, the interconnectedness of body, the parts making a whole. That's commonly referred to as the 32 parts of the body in First Foundation. It can be this broad skin, flesh, bones that we utilize for the earth element. It can be the elements that you're knowing that there's a body through the earth elements. We know body and breath. So we're feeling the breath in the body. And we know we're feeling the breath in the body. Again, we're utilizing this terms of being, this form of being with the breath. Rather than getting ever more subtle with breath, we're establishing that we are alert and attentive in the body realm. Ironically, by doing less, by being more modest, sometimes we come up with a feeling of calm or feeling of well-being. that is a bit unexpected. You can go with that. And we open to the feeling that is this moment of breath body pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. I don't really encourage that word neutral. Pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. More accurate, more onward leading. So this inhale, this exhale, the breath as a whole, is it pleasant or unpleasant or neither? Getting more subtle, is the beginning of the inhale pleasant or unpleasant? The inhale duration, pleasant or unpleasant, or neither? The exhale, I'm sorry, the end, the termination, the cessation of breath, of inhale, pleasant, unpleasant, neither. The pause in between that exhale and that inhale and the beginning of the exhale. Sometimes it's so brief we can't catch it. Sometimes it's so prolonged it makes us uncomfortable. It varies by person and by individual times. Same with the exhale, please. This is the feeling of availability, the degree that you're receiving and recognizing these various ways of experiencing breath means that you are in fact available, ipso facto, that you have the feltic sense, so therefore you do know you're present. And there's qualities to being present. Like we're more intimate with the breath, possibly. Or we start to feel the vitality through the breath. Or the breath can reveal that there's a little bit of anxiety in each inhale or exhale, and it leads us to emotional body consciousness. Every time we have the choice, we don't have to include that as pleasant or unpleasant or neither. And then we move on to noticing our mind states and the emotions that come with mind states. when the mind is restless or angry or in some way in the more troubled mind states, is it mostly from an outer experience or an inner experience? When the mind is agitated, where does it go? How sensitive is it? If it's inner agitated, does it make like a sound or even a smell or anything that there's an agitation that starts to become outer, but has actually originated in the inner? Or a sense gate is disturbing us in some way that we get agitated because of hearing this sound that we find unpleasant or interruptive or vaguely threatening? And is it the sound in our nervous system, or is it this inner experience of our story that where we have an association and this actual sound isn't so unpleasant, but our association with that sound is very unpleasant or not safe or even torturous? Not judging, comparing, fixing, but this open heart knowing from wisdom and compassion. The higher mind states, the mind starts to get settled. Available to what is. The mind at this moment is like this. Space around the experience. And then moving to the fourth foundation of mindfulness, awareness of dhammas, the truth that is revealed. How we look at our experiences through those first three satipatthanas of the body, of pleasant, unpleasant, of mind states, and we see with inside eyes, just picking a few here, we see the hindrances, wanting, this greed, this idealization of getting, or these compelling needs to get rid of this aversion. In the senses, it's an outer, but in our inner experience, it can get enhanced in its unpleasantness or its fearfulness, or actually not be mirroring what's outside. There's pain, but you're not really objecting to the physical pain. You don't have an inner experience that is defined by the physical pain. And yet that is the outer experience. Or just the opposite, the outer experience isn't really that charged, and yet there's an inner experience that's so charged because of story, because of association, because of an inner unsettledness. How do we hold the hindrances themselves? Are we available to be with them to the degree that we can have the choice to abandon them? Repeating, are we available? Are we being mindfully with them in such a way that we have the choice to abandon them. To take our inner experience beyond them, the outer arising of them. And that's such that they drop away, or at least they're at bay. They're there, but we're not paying any attention to them because our mind is so collected and unified, because it's so filled with metta or another Brahmavihara, or because we're so aligned with our aspirations. And then the awakening factors, from mindfulness to this, a steady mind of equanimity, from this activity of a joyous mind, a gladdened mind, to a mind that's calm. Imagine being so available that you learned quite intimately. You have an intimate relationship with each of the awakening factors. Sometimes the outer conditions are really creating the circumstance where one or more of these will happen. And other times it's more difficult. And there's the inner experience when the mind is mindful. We've dealt with so much. When it's got energy, we learn to have the right balance of energy. We feel the energy externally in an outer way, but our relationship with it becomes internal, more nuanced. And on and on. And finally, there's the Four Noble Truths, the last of the teachings of the fourth Satipatthana. We go from the awakening factors to actually understanding, penetrating it, the Four Noble Truths as understanding of Dhamma. Awakening factors, penultimate. Four Noble Truths, ultimate. Dukkha is felt through the sense gates, but our internal experience of that dukkha can vary so much. The grasping, tanha, all the attachment, the second noble truth, again, can have an external experience and an internal. Less easy is the third noble truth about the end of suffering. You can have an external situation where there is no greed. But what is the internal experience when there is no greed, that the mind's not wanting anything? Likewise with the aversive mind, when the mind's not being aversive, what is the felt sense internally? The external is a mental recognition, but what does it feel like? What is the inner experience? The third noble truth being so mysterious and so often far away. How do we bring it closer? foreshadowings, little tastes. And then there is the path, the Fourth Noble Truth. There's the comprehension of it. There's this assessment of what it means to us and being able to assess how we think we're accessing one. Do we understand not? Can we feel it or not? But what actually is the internal experience of right livelihood, of wise concentration? So we deliberately become available for that internal experience. We are available and aligned, and therefore we can have insight in relation to it. Having space in relation to experience can be also described as that there is so much observing factor that there is room around the experience, because we're just not our face glued to the window of that experience, but we're stepped back a bit. Again, an outer and inner. Mm-hmm.